Hello guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Black Spin Global Podcast, best tennis podcast, best sports podcast, just best podcast to be honest. Like, I don't care what you say. Eugene, how you been?
I'm trying. I'm good, Lucy. How are you? Very tired, by the way. So, like, it's very early. I'm not going to say how early it is, but it's early. Early for me on a Saturday.
I think this is the earliest we've ever recorded.
No, I think we have recorded earlier before. And I want to say it was for the French Open as well. I think it was last year. We did the same kind of thing.
See, this slam is just drama.
Ghetto
from recording to everything else.
No, how are you? This is like the second time in a week we've seen each other, like, considering obviously what happened earlier in the week.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm good. For like a very long time in my life, like, I've actually been like, you know what? I'm actually very good. Can't complain. I'm drinking my coffee.
Nice.
I think I'm going to make it a thing now where I'm just going to talk about what I'm drinking, because I'm recording, I'm drinking. So I'm going to make it a thing. So for the listeners, those who are not watching, I'm drinking coffee. Shout out to my girl who got me a coffee machine for my birthday. So
very nice. Very, very nice. So obviously it's been a while since we were last on. And like,
it's been a while.
Quite a bit has happened in terms of like clay court season. We've not really touched, we've not been able to really talk about it, so we're just gonna have like a quick recap of like, yeah, the clay court events, and also like a brief like rundown of like what's been in the news like since we've been off. But I think we've only got really one place to start, and that is obviously the Instagram live we did, or IG live we did, with the wonderful Taylor Townsend. What an experience. Our first IG live.
Mm-hmm. So I think we did quite well.
We did.
For something super last minute, we literally knew a night before.
Yeah.
Like, basically didn't even have 24 hours.
To be fair, like Rodney Rapson, who set it up for us, he mentioned it maybe like a month before, saying, oh, potentially we could like maybe interview Taylor because she's coming to Germany.
But we still were not prepared
I think he messaged me like on the Tuesday, on the Monday, saying, oh yeah, like she's good to go this week. Like even Tuesday or Wednesday, I was like, listen, whatever day is perfect by us. So yeah, it was a really, really good interview as well. She was joined by her coach, John Williams, which was a nice touch as well. We weren't expecting him to like,
When I saw him, I was like, oh, okay.
yeah. So that was quite nice. And that really added to the whole like interview and chat. So very, very enjoyable. Although I did drop the ball. And I told you, well, we both realized at the end, we forgot to mention or ask her about the Cardi B.
It's so funny because literally this morning I literally tweeted it because I saw a picture of Cardi, Taylor and Normani like together. Yeah. And I literally quote tweeted, I was like, Eugene and I were so upset that we couldn't forget to ask her about that. That would have been great. I would have loved to know, because I see, in a way, from what I've seen from Cardi publicly and Taylor publicly, it's like, I feel like they can click, because the one thing about both of them is that they're real as fuck. That's why Cardi is where she is. It's because everyone liked how real she was. She's no Hollywood chick. Till this day, she's probably the biggest celebrity, and she's still like the same girl from wherever she's from. And Taylor is the same thing. And I think that's why I loved the interview so much, because I was very at ease. I kind of felt like I was talking to just a normal person. Like she was just being her, and I was very refreshing. Not saying that others did that, but it's just the way she carries herself like that. Like she's just a real one, you know. That's like, to me, I just felt like she's the realest, and I really, really appreciate her like giving, like using her time to speak to us. I really appreciate it, man. I was on cloud nine. Like we came a long fucking way, Eugene. Like, it's really crazy.
I'm very proud.
Cheers to that with our mugs.
Cheers.
Cheers.
No, so obviously that was Taylor Townsend, and again, shouts out to Rodney for setting that up for us.
Facts.
Also in the news this week, I say this week, last week now, Gael Monfils announced that he won't be playing the French Open, sadly, because he's going to be going. He's undergoing a minor operation, but he should be back hopefully for the grass court season. But more importantly, he and Elina Cicilina, his wife, they're expecting their first child. Yeah. So major congratulations! It's a girl, isn't it?
Yeah, it says a girl. A lot of people on Tennis Sweat were actually saying that she was pregnant because she disappeared out of nowhere. They were like,
yeah.
There's still a lot of rumors, but obviously I didn't, you know, just waiting. But yeah, man, I hope this, you know, just brings them a lot of joy. I hope she has a safe pregnancy and delivery, you know.
Facts.
That's the first, like, most important thing. And they just enjoy that moment.
Yeah. I did like Asaka's comment. I think it was on Girl Monfils' post, mm-hmm. where she said, oh, October babies are the best. Because I think she's also an October baby.
She's actually a September baby, though.
Is she?
I think no, Asaka's September.
I'm going to say October.
Let's check. She is an October baby. Oh.
Yeah, so, like, 16th obviously...
of October.
So, yeah, shouts out to... well, Mr. and Mrs. Monfils.
Facts.
Also, shout out to Jay Clark, who won a challenger that was at the start of May in Mexico, the Morelos Open. And yeah, he saved two match points in the second round. So to kind of come back from that and obviously go all the way to win the tournament, it's a great look for him.
Facts. I think he pulled out of French Open because of injury.
No, so he was in qualifying. He lost in the first round of qualifying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, which would obviously come on to a bit later on. And I want to actually know. I want to say that's it. Dustin Brown, aka Dreddy Tennis.
Dreddy Tennis.
Like, well, that is his name, isn't it? His like social media name. But yeah, changed his allegiance. So he was representing Germany, but will now be representing Jamaica. bad man. Obviously, I'm half Jamaican. Yes, I'm half Jamaican.
Yes. People them.
It's a good look. It's a very good look. And I'd love to know like the reasoning behind that.
I was literally just about to say that.
I want to say it links to his dad. I don't know if his dad. I'm not sure if his dad's around. I don't know, but I think it obviously his dad is Jamaican, so I think he just felt maybe out of respect for his dad. Yeah.
I don't know, but I feel like it's like not in a bad way, but it was like really random, like out of nowhere. So I really
definitely. And like he's like mid 30s now, so. I mean,
maybe it's a thing where he had that goal in his head. He was like, you know what, one day I would love to do that. And then probably now he was able to. And maybe the German, like, he plays for Germany.
Yeah, he was representing Germany, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe he was not getting what he wanted from there. And then, you know.
Because I'm pretty sure he has played Davis Cup. I don't know when last time would have been, but I'm pretty sure he has represented Germany, like, at the Davis Cup. One last thing on that as well, again on his IG post, I noticed Francis Tiafoe commented saying, oh, like, yeah, like it's a good look. And obviously Tiafoe has roots in Sierra Leone, so like obviously being in America, this is a whole like a different conversation, like maybe we can have like a long in the future. But I do that's something I love about like black tennis players, like black people in general, like we have allegiances to different countries. Fact. Like through our parents, like, because obviously you could be born in one country, but your parents come from a different country, and you could represent that country if you choose to, which is a beautiful thing. So yeah, shouts out to Dustin Brown and yeah, the rest of all the Jamaicans out there.
But we've never had someone representing Jamaica, right? A tennis player, or probably we have, like, I mean, like top, like,
yeah, I can't think of any.
I
can't think of any. So yeah, a very, very good look. And I mean, now let's get into like some news, big news. Wimbledon. I mean, it was spoken about or kind of, yeah, maybe known for quite a while that it could possibly happen, but it was confirmed on Friday. So obviously yesterday for us, but yeah, Wimbledon will not be, basically the ATP and WTA have stripped Wimbledon of ranking points. So players playing at Wimbledon this year will not be playing for ranking points, which basically means the tournament just turns into like an exhibition. So the same amount of like prize money will still be on offer, which I don't think is going to, that would obviously, you know, encourage players to show up. and play hard, but at the same time, it's a weird one because obviously now, yeah, like players don't have the opportunity to, you know, increase their ranking at a Grand Slam, which is like, I don't think that's ever happened before. And that's all because obviously the whole Russia-Ukraine conflict. I say Russia, well, basically Russia invading Ukraine, because that's what it is.
Mm.
But yeah, what are your views on that?
Do you know what? I think only Wimbledon can get away with this type of thing. When I say get away, I mean more of like, out all of the slams, people see Wimbledon as like, got it. Players specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Like for them, Wimbledon is that, for most of them, let's say, it's like, okay, got it, and then the rest. I feel like if it was another slam, I feel like it would have been a whole different thing. I think some more players would have been probably speaking about it and stuff. But I see where both parties are like coming from, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because ATP is basically trying to say, hey, we get you're trying to, you know, stand for Ukraine and support them, but in a way you're still discriminating. So this is what's going to happen and stuff. It's just unfortunate all the way around, but it goes back to my main point. My whole issue, not even just with Wimbledon or with tennis in general, my main issue with this whole Russia and Ukraine thing is that we're actually forgetting the issue. Like, I feel like we spend more time talking about how do we stand for Ukraine than actually talking about what's actually going on. I can't tell you right now, Eugene, what's going on right now, what has been happening with everything. Mm. I don't know what's going on because more focus has been about, oh, you're not standing for Ukraine, or you're not doing that, or you are murderers and you're supporting. Like everyone is just pointing fingers rather than actually focusing on the actual thing. But I don't know. It's just crazy. Honestly, it's just crazy. I just wish in all sports that everyone just carried on with everything, because whether Russian players are playing or not, Putin is still going to do what he's doing. The war is still there. If all of this was going to stop the war, then I'll say it's worth it. But it's not stopping anything. That's what I'm saying. Literally, we're all being distracted by the actual main thing. So I think for lower ranked players, obviously they're more pissed by it. The bigger players, I think for them is more like, I'm just trying to win that slam or get that money or whatever it is. But it looks like in this situation, this favors the Russians. Look, at the end,
I mean, the thing is, they're
getting a little holiday. Their ranking is not really.
Medvedev's
going to be, might still be number one player. Can you imagine? So, they're chilling, really and truly. So, it's like all of this madness happened for what?
Yeah. It's a really weird, like, situation. And obviously, because it's never happened before, like, we just don't know what's going to happen, like, in terms of the kind of the after effects, basically. So, that's kind of what I'm most interested in. And like kind of seeing how it all plays out, and we should also mention as well, so the WTA, they've also stripped there'll be no ranking points on offer for every grass court competition in England basically this year. So on the WTA side, so that's Eastbourne, Birmingham, and what's the other one? Is there another one?
Eastbourne, Birmingham, and there's one more.
Yeah, so just basically the three WTA grass court tournaments in England.
Nottingham,
that's it. They will not be ranking points.
Only for the WTA?
Only for the WTA, yeah. So right. For the ATP, Queens and I think it's Eastbourne, they're the two ATP events on grass in the UK. They will still be giving out ranking points.
I want to know, but they said, I think, if I don't know if I'm going to be right on this, but I just want to know, is it a thing where the government is the one who called up Wimbledon and said, you lot are not going to let thing? But then I think I've read somewhere that Wimbledon actually made a decision themselves.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Wimbledon's like a members. I don't really know about how like it goes in terms of governance. But yeah, Wimbledon is basically a members club. So the members, like within Wimbledon, they came to that decision. That's the thing. They have that power as opposed to like the other grand slams, like you said. They don't have that kind of same, you know, they're not led like that in terms of having a members like committee, basically. So
I wonder if some of them regret it now.
who knows?
Because they probably did it thinking they were doing the right thing, thinking, you know what, we want to show ourselves more than everyone else. And now probably it accidentally kind of backfired and it's just like, wait, shit.
Yeah. It's not great press. Like just looking like from the outside, looking in, like it's not a good look.
But you know what? It's a mixer too. I've seen both. I've seen some people saying, well done, Wimbledon. And I see some people saying, Wimbledon, what the hell are you doing? So it's a bit like, I feel like there's no, and that's what I'm saying. I feel like that's why it was probably best not to do anything, because it's like, whether you do try and do something or not, people are going to complain. People are going to chat, especially in this generation. You try to do your best, making sure that you're all good. People are going to come and attack you and say, yeah, but you did this. Yeah, but you said that. Yeah, but you did this. You know?
Yeah,
but we'll see. Yeah, anything can happen between now till like, I feel like more chaos is going to happen.
Listen.
Because tennis, if you think about it, someone made a thread of like what are the most craziest things that's happened in tennis? And when I was reading some of the people's answers, I was like, yo, this sport is so chaotic. Like, this sport is actually so crazy. And I think from outside, because everyone sees it as like, you know, high class or playing tennis and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, it's not. There's chaos like 24/7. Yeah. There's drama 24/7. But I like it. I like chaos. I like drama, you know? Sometimes it's just too much. Like, let's actually play. Like, let's actually watch some, you know, some matches. But
I'm the complete opposite. But anyway, we move. But yeah, let's actually get back into like the proper tennis chat now. And Black's proper been tennis. Global tennis chat.
Yes.
And I think
we're live on.
We should only start with Mr. Francis Tiafoe, friend of the pod.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a very good clay court season, to be fair.
Way better than I expected.
Yeah, like, so, I mean, and again, massive shout out to Lucy, because Lucy, she did this rundown for this episode, which saved me a lot of time. So shouts out to Lucy.
You guys, I'm not just here with just my nice wig and my pretty face. I'm here as well to do some work.
Joker. But yeah, Francis Tiafoe, like, he made it to the quarterfinals in Houston, which was a nice, nice run. And that was on the green clay in America.
Yeah.
And then came to Europe. He had the round of 16 loss to Felix Auger-Aliassime.
Yeah.
I think that was straight sets for Felix, but a very high quality match,
mm-hmm.
I thought. Mm-hmm. And then the following week, he reached the final in Estoril, Portugal. And what a run that was. So I think every match up until the final, it was a free set match.
Yeah.
I think he won two bagel sets as well. Two deciders. I think the first round and second round, he won them 6-love, which you love to see. But the match that kind of stood out for me during that run, well, to be fair, two matches. The match against Alejandro Davidovich-Fokina, I think that was a quarterfinal, and then the semi-final against Sebastian Corda. Again, both free setters. I want to say he saved match points as well in both of those.
I think he's the one with, is it Borges? I can't remember if it was the first or second round. That one was entertaining as well.
Yeah.
He had a crazy defense and some really nice drop shots. Like,
that was the second round.
That was a really, really good match. I actually enjoyed all of his matches during that tournament, to be honest. Yeah,
because he made the final in 2018.
I was about to say that I think he really likes Estoril. Like, he's had pretty good records there, so I'm really hoping next year he can at least like bag one. He and the crowd really loved him.
Oh,
like,
they love it. They really mess with him, which
they really loved him. Yeah,
so yeah, he unfortunately he did lose out to Sebastian Baez in the final, and that was a straight sets win for Baez. But you can tell at that point, and also as we should mention, Tiafoe wasn't exactly 100% fit in terms of like health-wise, like he was sick, basically. He was ill, like he had some kind of like fever or something. So
yeah.
So basically be able to play at that high level and not be 100% physically, like, shows a lot, basically. So shouts out. And then in the two Masters events, so the Madrid and Rome Masters, he did lose in the first round in both of those. Actually, it wasn't the first round. Madrid was the second round because he got a bye. And then Rome was the first round.
First round, right, okay.
I'm expecting a decent Roland Garros from Tiafoe.
Mm-hmm.
What are you kind of, because for me, we will come on to the French Open later, but just I think it's important to mention, like, yeah, he's never won a match at Roland Garros, so he's looking for his first win, and I don't see why not, well, like, why it can't be this year.
Yeah,
being no, seeded as well.
I agree. I think I do see, like, I see him doing much better this time at Roland Garros than the other times, and I think despite, you know, Madrid and Italy, I'm kind of taken as more of like a fatigue type of thing.
100%, yeah.
So that's why I'm hoping, like, you know, like, he'll just come pumped up to kill it at the French Open.
Yeah, no, I agree. Felix Auger-Aliassime, who we kind of did touch on quickly, but he had a bit of a rough start during this clay court season, but things did pick up for him in Barcelona, where he reached the quarterfinals. No, it was a round of 16 in Barcelona. He lost to Schwartzman.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, things really did pick up for him at the Masters event. So he got to I think it was quarterfinals in Madrid and Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Massive result for him in Madrid.
He lost to Djokovic, I think.
Yeah, so in Madrid, he beat Jannik Sinner.
Yes.
Absolutely demolished him. I think it was 6-1, 6-2.
And that was like actually a good match.
Under an hour. I mean, to be fair to Sinner, like, and this is one thing about Felix as well, like, he's such a classy, kind of just class act.
Yeah.
Like, after the match, he was like, oh, basically, Sinner wasn't playing great, but I was playing pretty well. So, you know, that combination, that's why the score was what it was.
Mm.
But, like, he didn't completely take all the, like, glory, basically. He just said, yeah, he acknowledged the fact that Sinner wasn't playing well, and I quite like that. I can see your face is like,
I'm opposite, because like I said earlier, I like chaos. Listen, tennis players, talk your shit. Be like, yo, that nigga Sinner, he was doing anything, you know. I came out here and I played and I beat his ass and we're out here.
Yeah,
bitches, where you at?
Felix is too classy for that.
That is what I want from tennis players. Like, even like when Tiafoe did his speech when he won, I remember even one of my boys, shout out to Vianney, like he messaged me. He was like, see, like, why is he like brag a little bit? And the thing is, we love to brag. So it's like, brag, you know? And I'm talking, I want this from all players, not even just black players. I want this from all players. Do you know how fun it will be if, like, at press conferences, like, players are talking their shit? Oh, you saw that drop shot? That was dead. But anyways, honestly, I won. So it is what, like, literally talk your shit. That serve,
you wanted to be like,
I don't know about that. Basically, that's what I want. Because it's a competition where we, like, you're alone, you're there. So when you're head to head, like, it's heated. Do you get what I mean? Like, I want to see that passion, that anger, basically, because it's real. Do you get what?
Everybody loves personality. So I hear.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying him being like a class act is not him. I feel like, I've already said it, Felix is very mature for his age. I feel like he's kind of following Federer's
Type of, like, I mean, they're born on the same day. Like,
like, you can literally, I can just see, like, when I see Federer, I just see, like, when I see Felix, I just see, like, Federer's, like, type of thing. Like, you can see that he's taking a lot from him. So I get that. But tennis players, please, talk your shit. Your fucking shit. Let's have some chaos.
But, yeah, Felix's last match on the clay was in Rome, the quarterfinal against Novak, which was a very, very good match. Again, high quality.
Mm-hmm. It was.
And I think that was the first time he's played Novak, which was interesting. Was it? Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize.
They've never played each other before. Okay. Before then.
So he's now played all big threes.
Yeah, exactly. Beat Federer.
Yeah, he did.
Yet to beat Nadal. But no, interesting. So again, I'm optimistic about Felix in Paris. And like Francis, he's also looking for his first win. He's never won in Paris.
I think for both of them, it will be good. And I do. You know, I've got to give you your dues. You know, you did say at the beginning, you know, last pod, I was like, you know what, Felix, I don't know, maybe clay is not for him. And you were like, no. And you were right. He really proved us wrong. I think, I don't know.
Or proved you wrong, not me.
you know what, let me rephrase that. Proved me wrong. You're right. I don't know. Maybe Nadal's uncle gave him a little bit of flogging, like, listen, stop embarrassing me. I'm stop embarrassing me. My nephew is a king of clay. You can't come and embarrass me anymore. You better fucking come correct. Oh, and he did. So shout out to Felix. I'm really looking forward to him in at the French Open. I think he's gonna make it really far. Like honestly, because he had like a great start. And yeah. He lost to just Novak, like who fucking won at the end. But anyways.
On to the women now. So where should we go first? Should we go Coco Gauff?
Let's go Coco Gauff.
So she lost to Simona Halep, now coached by Patrick Mertoglu, in Madrid in the third round. That was Madrid. Very interesting, actually. There was also a kind of revelation or, you know, some news that broke. She's working with a new coach. So it's Diego Moyano, who I am familiar with the name. And I know he's worked with Sloane Stephens in the past.
That's what I saw, yeah.
Yeah, and I want to say a few other players as well. I think Kevin Anderson as well. Obviously, he's not.
Yes, I saw Kevin Anderson, yeah.
So
who is retiring, by the way?
He is, exactly, South African. So
salute.
Shouts out, and yeah, good luck in retirement. But yeah, I mean, very interesting development, because obviously Coco is what, 18, and like we've only ever known her to be, you know, coached or kind of, yeah, nurtured by her dad in terms of, you know, on the tour. So yeah, what are your views? I know you were quite excited to see that.
I personally always felt like just having that one extra person will kind of like help her push through. I'm not saying, shout out to Coco's dad, man, he's done a wonderful job. I mean, look how far she's had. That's the thing, because she hasn't, like, I think people tend to forget what she's actually accomplished. I think she doesn't even get enough credit for what she's done last season, especially, like, she's done a lot for her age.
100%, 18.
At 18, so,
and we should also mention, sorry, not to cut you, but she just graduated high school.
I was gonna finish with that. Yeah, she graduated. Shout out to that. Really, 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 really proud of her doing that. But yeah, her dad's done a wonderful job. So I don't want to make it seem like he's shit, like he's done a wonderful job. But I just feel like in order to take her to the next level, this was something that's needed. And hopefully he will, or if he's not, then probably another coach. I don't know. But I was really happy, and so far it looks like is doing well, because the following tournament she did well as well. But I'm happy about it. And shout out to her dad for not wearing Patrick's hat during the match. That's how we do it. You know, we have each other's back. But some people don't get that. Some people like to run to the ops. And you know, so shout out to Coco's dad. Shout out to Coco's dad for that. I respect
Corey. That. You see you, Corey. Also, we must mention the fact that she beat Angelique Kerber. I loved your revenge.
Revenge is so sweet. It's
obviously
so
sweet. We saw her live.
In 4K. We saw it in 4K.
At Wimbledon. Yeah. So completely different match. And she really played well in that match, Coco.
She did. Like, she was like, "I remember that time, yeah? Yeah, we're not doing that. We are not doing that. I'm here to take you down.
These clay court streets.
Down."
Like, I really
happy about that.
Yeah, I really believe like clay is one of her strongest surfaces.
Yeah, obviously, she's had some good, really good records on clay.
She reached the quarterfinals at Roland Garros last year. Again, we'll talk about that later on. So yeah, like I'm very optimistic about Coco, and just always impressed as well. Like you said, in terms of her age and like what she's been able to achieve up until this point.
I mean, scary. Italy, she reached semifinals. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
So crazy. Like honestly, I just want her to keep it up and just, you know, just push through. I know she's gonna. I feel like the second she gets that one win, that is it. It's over for you, bitches. It's actually over for you guys. The second she gets that one win. Is done.
No, I hear that. Let's talk about someone who's probably not having the best of times at the moment. Sloane Stephens, who you've said, and I completely agree, like clay is probably her best surface, but yet yeah, just the results haven't really been.
I think
there.
It's also her favorite. I think she said that it's her favorite.
Not really.
If I remember correctly.
I mean, she reached the Roland Garros final. Was it 2018?
Yes.
I love what she was wearing, that green, that shade of green is beautiful. Mm. But yeah, what do you make of Sloane, like in terms of like her kind of form at the moment?
I don't know. I'm surprised only because, again, like I said, like clay is, even last year when it was a bit, even though it was like before she got to clay, it was a bit rough.
Yeah.
But then she was still doing good. Like clay season, she always does a little, like much better than all the other surfaces.
It picked up as well at the French Open because she beat, I think it was Mukova.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Really
I
good,
think she,
good win.
I think and she lost, made it to like the third round, was it?
I want to say the fourth. She lost to Krejcikova.
Yeah.
Who went on to win the tournament.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think this is the first time where I'm like, in a very long time where I'm like, whoa, clay, like what is, you know, like, what's going on? But I think maybe I'm just being really optimistic, but I really think that she might be, the way I see it is that when Grand Slams come, these players are just putting everything into it, yeah. Which makes sense. It's a fucking Grand Slam.
Well, maybe not Wimbledon this year, but that's a different story. I'm joking.
No, you're right. Some of them just like, no points. Okay. But yeah, and I think she might be more motivated to actually, you know, push through as well. So honestly, I don't know. I think I can't answer because I'm just, this is the first time where I'm literally seeing her like where clay is just not in it. Like her form was just not there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Because she has won a tournament this year. That was back in Mexico, February, mm-hmm. I want to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like she's like, yeah, like not had a win all year. Like, But obviously her form just hasn't been great. Like kind of coming
on
the
surface where she's normally really good at. So that's why it's a bit like, okay, I don't know what to expect with French Open at the moment. I think she's the only one where I'm like, I don't know, I'm lost.
Interesting. But I mean, again, I would not be surprised if she does like, turn it on and show up.
And she's still getting that check anyway. Listen, one thing about Sloane Stephens, she's going to get that bag. And I respect that. I love seeing a black woman getting paid.
Speaking about bags. Naomi Osaka.
Speaking about bags.
Naomi Osaka.
The big money bag. Now we're talking about real bags. There's bag and then there's bag. There's Naomi bag.
she pulled out of Rome due to an Achilles injury. So she's only played one clay court tournament this year. Mm-hmm. And that was Madrid, where she got the win against Anastasia Potapova in the first round.
Yeah.
And then lost to Sara Cerebes Torma in round two. But yeah, she was carrying an Achilles injury,
mm-hmm.
so that couldn't have been easy. And then obviously she pulled out of Rome as a result of that. But all seems like fine now, which is good, and like she seems in good spirits as well, like heading into the French Open. But yeah, the bag news. So she announced that she's no longer part of IMG, and yeah, she started her own sports agency with her agent Stuart Dugweed or Duguid. I don't know how you actually pronounce the surname, apologies, but just Stuart, shouts out, follower.
friend of Blackspin. Blackspin.
Facts.
He's actually a friend of Blackspin, guys. Facts. Like, you know.
So the sports agency is called Evolve. And yeah, this is like a first kind of like move in terms of a female athlete setting up her own sports agency and a female athlete like of, you know, Osaka's like caliber and status, which I think is just huge.
Massive, incredible.
I'm very excited to kind of see like how that all kind of like, well, plays out. And I think it's just a very like, just a very powerful move.
No, 100%.
What are your views?
No, I'm just, listen, like I said, I love seeing a black woman getting paid. I love seeing people getting like, you know, 100% of everything that they deserve. Again, shout out to Venus Williams paving the way. Like when I see like black female athletes or even female athletes, especially in tennis as well, getting paid, my mind always automatically goes back to Venus. Like pioneer, she's the one who started all of this.
Facts.
Showing people like, listen, there's money out there, you just need to actually go and get it.
Yeah.
But
and we should mention Serena too, in terms of like the whole, like,
of course,
Yeah, just entrepreneurship, like outside of tennis. Yeah,
100%. Like, yeah.
They've 100%. really paved the way.
100%. The whole, yeah. Like, it just shows to you how they, it's just incredible how their contributions are, like, or the influence are in and out of the court as well.
But, exactly.
Shout out to Stuart as well, because clearly he's doing a brilliant job. Like, 7 years they've been together and this girl is getting paid, like, absolutely crazy.
Right, is it 7 years? Wow.
Yes, but I didn't know they've been working together for that long, but it's been 7 years. We're gonna read the article. But yeah, he's out here getting that money. Shout out to him too. He's out here getting that money.
it's very, very, very smart.
We're out here only out here congratulating the sucker, but he fucking won. So shout out to him.
I
posted something funny on like the Insta story. I was like, oh, Osaka and Stuart. For the past 7 years, and it was that guy that was like, where the money was at, but he actually saw it and he liked it.
Yeah, yeah.
So shout out to them. But honestly, that's literally been them. They've been getting that bag, and I love seeing people getting that bag, man. That like, is what it is. But yeah,
did you see Kyrie Irving's tweet? I think it was a tweet in response to Osaka.
Saying,
oh, any room for me, like, to come, basically.
Yeah, that's another thing as well. I really want to know, like, is it a thing where other athletes are going to join? Like,
oh, of course. I mean, I'm sure that's the plan.
Like, but like, what type of athlete is going to be only tennis? Going to be like, I'm really interested to see how she's going to like expand. Yeah. But knowing Osaka and seeing how she's been very, you know, like broad with her investments and stuff, I won't be surprised if it's like all sports or like mainly focusing on women or something like that. I don't know. But either way, congrats to both of them.
Big time. So yeah, I think that kind of wraps up our little like rundown of like clay court events. Obviously, we know, there have been a few events over the past couple of weeks. So I think was it Lyon, we had Joe Wilfried Tsonga playing he's playing his last event at the French Open. But yeah, he played Lyon last week now and lost to Alex Molcan in the first round, who's a finalist in Lyon. And yeah, Tsonga was presented with like a nice like trophy at the end of his match, which was quite nice. Like, his whole family came onto the court, and like, yeah, there's like a nice video that was played for him, similar to like the Andy Murray thing at the Australian Open, do you remember? But this time Tsonga is actually retiring. but that's no shame.
Of course.
But that was Hella extra.
It was Hella. No, Australia Open did the most, to the point where it made me cry. I actually cried. Like, I'm not joking. I literally cried. And now look, this guy's out here with his metal hips. Shout out to Murray, though. You guys know I love him.
Facts. But yeah, let's get into this French Open. So we're going. We're starting with the men first. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's go men first, French Open. There's only one place to start. Tsonga, his last ever French Open. A very horrible draw.
What did we expect?
Casper Ruud, the ape seed.
What did we expect?
Who's like a clay court master himself. I think he won like 5 clay court events last year. But who knows, man? Listen, who knows?
Remember what I said. When niggas are retiring, these people are so ruthless. Don't. It's like,
I just
their best tennis.
I hope it's on Chatrier. He deserves that. He deserves to be on court, Philippe Chatrier. So the main show court.
Is it not already on Philippe? Because it starts tomorrow.
I don't know. Let's if it's check. Just, is the schedule out?
Yeah, it starts tomorrow.
He better be on Chatrier.
Okay, it's not. No, they haven't put the court yet for Monday.
Yeah.
But we shall see. They better not fuck up.
I hope, yeah. So again,
I think they will, because even that Carla girl, she was on the main court as well when she was thingy, when she retired.
Yeah, there was like no one in the stadium though. That was like during COVID. But yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I hear you. let's go seeds. So Ojeda Yassim, the ninth seed. He starts against a Peruvian qualifier, Juan Pablo Verdas.
I love your emphasis on the Juan.
I'm trying, man. You know, I actually thought he was black, you know, like a couple of months ago. I was like, who is this guy? He's got like Afro, he's got curly hair basically. And I thought, is this some Afro Latino? Like,
you know what's so funny. I feel like with you, there's so many times you see a player, you're like, 100%. Let me try and figure out if black, there's like some.
My black's been global radar goes up.
It's like, oh, you black. His Dr. Umar hat is like, all right, let me see if there's some African in this person.
We're all African, by the way. So let's just get like, we'll talk. But anyway, that's a whole different podcast. So yeah, decent draw for Felix. Qualifier. Yeah. He should. So fingers crossed, he gets his first Roland Garros win.
No, definitely.
TFO also seeded 24th. He starts against a Frenchman, Benjamin Bonzi. And again, like it's so good to see TFO like seeded at a Grand Slam because yeah, last year he wasn't, and that just shows like the progression. Like, he had a solid year last year, and like he's kind of continued that form. So again, fingers crossed, he can get his first win at Roland Garros too. Mikel Yimmer is having a tough time at the moment. So he hasn't won a match since February, I want to say.
He's had some tough draws as well, though.
He has. You're right, definitely. That draws haven't helped. But yeah, he gets Australian James Duckworth in the first round. Again, that's a winnable match. So fingers crossed for Yimmer. And wild card, Michael Moe, who, again, he replaced Guillaume Fils at Lyon, so he was a lucky loser. He lost his second round match against the Frenchman, is it Gunnard, and that was like quite controversial because like it got suspended due to bad light, and then they came back the next day and it was like 5-all in the third set, and the Frenchman beat him basically 7-5. So but yeah, Mo's in this year's French Open on a wild card, and he takes on again another qualifier, Bernard Zapata Morales. So all of these I'd say are winnable matches. Well, I say barring Songa and Ruud,
yeah,
decent draws, yeah, like, for our guys. Like I think
in terms of black spin, I think
yeah,
we've been nice a little bit. The other ones, they've been out here just like, because French Open literally picks all them ones, just put them all literally in the same group, like that, like, all together, like, boom, you guys are all going to play against each other.
Absolute mess, which we'll come on to a bit later, but let's go on to the women. So Townsend, who very excited to see back. So she plays Frenchwoman Caroline Garcia. Again, that's the
interesting.
Garcia is a very good player, but I mean, I don't know.
She's been slacking though for a very long time. I can see Taylor bagging this.
I would love to see it. And obviously Taylor's she's won that challenger recently as well in Charleston. So obviously this is her first like high level match since her return. So it's going to be a very, you know, tough ask.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's got nothing to lose. So no expectations. She's on her protected ranking as well. So it's just win-win really for Townsend. And she also revealed she should be playing doubles with Madison Keys during our live chat.
Which I didn't even realize they were such close friends till describing it.
I loved it. I love that. Yeah. So,
crazy. By the way, guys, if you have not listened to it, it's saved on our page. I should have said it at the beginning. I completely forgot. But if you haven't watched our Taylor Townsend Insta Live, it's literally right there. You will see it because Instagram's not letting us change the cover.
It's
Instagram.
Cool. Yeah.
You are ruining
our page.
Read my lips. You're ruining in it.
But yeah, shouts out to Townsend and yeah, just very excited to see her back. Massive shout out to Hayley Baptiste as well. So she came through qualifying for the second year in a row. And yeah, she gets a tough opener. So she takes on Ukrainian Annalena Kalinina, who's like had some big results this year. So she's beaten Sloane, Madison Keys. I think she beat someone else.
She's like another version of Yang, just beating niggas.
I mean, this is the thing, like, she's quite ruthless. And I've said this to I remember saying it to you, and I mentioned it to Mani too, and you both like just were like, shut up, Eugene. But I think Kalinina looks a bit like Alicia Keys. I'm so sorry. I'm putting it out there. Like there's just something about maybe cut this.
Oh, I'm not cutting this. I'm even going to put a picture of Alicia Keys and
Do that.
We're going to put a picture, and guys, please let us know.
And put it to vote.
If Eugene is on crack, or not? Let us know. Let us know, because clearly he is.
You know. No, but back to Baptiste, like massive shout out, because it's not easy coming through qualifying. And she did mention to us as well, when we spoke to her at the start of the year, like it was very rewarding kind of, to be able to achieve that and not just be given a wild card, which she has been given in the past for like the US Open. So yeah, she's doing all the right things. And I won't be surprised to see her like in the top 100 at some point this year. But yeah, that's a tough draw against Kalinina, but you know, we'll never say never. Honorable mentions while we're on qualifiers. So Ossian Barbel, the 18-year-old French girl, she lost in the final round of qualifying, unfortunately. But again, a really good effort on her part. She got a wild card into qualifying, but was unable to win that final match. And also shout out to Paul Jubb, who beat Christopher Eubanks in the first round of qualifying. Shouts out to Christopher Eubanks as well. But then, Jubb lost in the second round to Luca Nardi. Back to the women's draw now. So seeds, Coco Gauff seeded 18th, 18-year-old seeded 18th, funny. She starts against Canadian Rebecca Marino. Again, Marino is a qualifier as well. And I've got here, Gauff could play the 10th seed, Garbina Muguruza, in the third round, if both, go through. I'm going to say Goff's going to go quite far.
I think Gauff can actually take Muguruza, because Muguruza this season has actually just been all over the gaff.
No, I completely agree. Keys, she seeded 22nd. Her best result at the French, I think, was the fourth round in 2016. So, clay is not really her best surface, although she has, she's got some decent results. Like, I think she won Charleston a few times.
Did she win it like last year?
A couple of years ago. 2019, yeah. So she starts against Anna Kalinskaya, who I believe is Russian, but we're not allowed to say. I think that's a decent draw for Keys. And obviously she'll be playing doubles as well with our girl Townsend. So good luck to Keys. Osaka now. I think this is the one everyone was like laughing about. So yeah, she takes on 27th seed Amanda Anisimova, which is a replay or rematch of the Australian Open earlier this year. What round was that? Do you remember? Was it the third or was it the third round in Australia or fourth?
It was far, yeah.
But yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
One thing that I know about Osaka though is that when you beat her once, she's gonna remember that.
But even on clay. As in,
literally the only reason why, because someone even shared a snippet of like her conference about like when she found out she was getting Amanda first and blah blah blah, and the way she was speaking, I literally even commented and I was saying, the thing is that we're all saying, oh shit, this is not looking good, but the number one thing that we forget is how competitive Osaka is. Just because she has that sweet voice and she's minding her own business.
Don't get it twisted.
Do you get what I mean? So the fact that she's very competitive, the fact that she's still very determined, and the fact that she has this different energy and fire when she's playing against someone that has beaten her once.
I hear you.
The reason why I feel like, you know what? She might actually be able to do something here. Amanda, the only thing is that Amanda has been doing really well this year. Yeah. This has been a great season for her. She's been doing really good. But I don't know. I think it's going to be an entertaining match. I see it go to three sets.
Interesting.
But I can't tell you who's going to win. I don't know. I'm 50-50. Because I feel like they're both on smoke.
Fascinating.
I feel like they're both on smoke, but I feel like Osaka's smoke is different right now.
See, and it's the moment she reached the semi-finals in 2019. So, like, yeah, she's very familiar and like has good memories of the French Open. Whereas Osaka, she's never really like done much at Roland Garros because clay is not really her surface. But I hear you. Like, it does seem like she's in a different place in terms of
mentally
at the moment. So hopefully that can kind of like carry her through, but. I'm not expecting anything from her, and I don't think anyone really should, and I don't think she is, to be fair, because there's no pressure on her as well. She's not seeded, so on paper she should lose this match, but then at the same time it's Naomi Osaka, like so
that's what I'm saying. I feel like Naomi, like, she always surprises us, and it goes back to my point of me saying that I feel like we literally forget how competitive she is.
Yeah, no, you make a good point. So we'll see. Very exciting. One that I'm sure we'll all be tuned into. 100%. Stevens, so again, not seeded, but yeah, she plays German qualifier Jewel Neymar. I don't know how you pronounce that name, I'm sorry. But yeah, obviously Stevens reached the final in 2018, like we mentioned earlier. I hope, and I can see Stevens picking up some good results at Roland Garros this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do hope that's the case. Jasmine Paolini, so she takes on the Romanian Irina Camilia Begu in the first round. I think that's a good first round for Jasmine.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully she can pull through and get a win there, or a couple of wins actually, and go on a bit of a run. And Heather Watson, now 30 years old, which I find
sweet.
Incredible.
Hey, listen, Heather, you were looking sweet on your 30th post.
Sweet one in Paris. Oh,
that's a rock.
You were looking very cute. So she plays the French wildcard, Elsa Jacquemot. I think that's how you pronounce her name. Jacquemot.
Is she French?
Yeah. Jacquemot. Help me out here, Lucy, the French speaking.
I'm going to be totally honest. I've never seen this name
before. So you're baffed as well. Okay.
I'm baffed. Jacquemot.
Okay.
Jacquemot.
Okay.
So it looks like Jacquemot.
You're the French speaker. So yeah, I'm going to go with you. So that's our draw, basically rounded up. In terms of like the actual draw overall, what kind of stood out to you in terms of overall, like, I think it was the top quarter with Nadal, Djokovic, and
my only thing is that they literally put all them players in the same half like this, and it was just like,
Felix, I think Felix needs to be mentioned in that too, you know, like, I don't like how he kind of gets overlooked. Ninth seed, like, he's a
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Like, yeah. I'm not only mentioning like Novak and Nadal and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mentioned like literally like all of them, but it's just crazy. But I feel like this is the first time the draws are not that insane though.
Really interesting. Okay, on both sides.
I feel like when I'm reading, I'm like, okay.
Interesting. Yeah, because I'm looking at it now, like
when you're looking at
There isn't
the only wild, like, to me, the only thing that made me scream was Osaka versus Amanda. Like, that was the only thing that I was just like, oh my god.
What about on the men? Obviously, this isn't related to black spin, but I think this is quite an interesting one. Shapovalov versus Holger Rune, first round. That's very like,
yeah, there's a quite few good first round for men.
That is a moody first round because they both have.
Tsitsipas is against someone as well. I can't remember who. Was it Sinner?
Oh, Massetti.
First round.
Massetti.
Massetti. I feel like that's going to be a good one. That's like, there's good, but like, compared to the usual.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Especially from French Open, compared to the usual, like, but it does not mean like, but I still feel like it's still going to be high quality entertaining. Like, we get a lot of good matches from French Open in general anyways. But it's just like, there wasn't like any like crazy, like shocking thing. The only thing is that it was the same thingy. We might get Nadal and Djokovic quarterfinals. Is Nadal going to make it far?
And then...
I said it from the beginning that I don't know.
Oh, really?
Nadal.
Yeah.
I don't know. Aww. I think.
This is it.
I don't.
It's Carlos's time now. Alcaraz's time.
Listen, shout out to Alcaraz. First of all, I know this is a black spin global thing, but Alcaraz literally entertained the shit out of me.
I was gonna say, have you seen his fade? That's a very black fade he's got.
Isn't it? You need to be stopped.
Alcaraz is a black barber. I'm telling you. And I respect
it. You need to be stopped. But shout out to him. What did he win? Was it Madrid? Yeah, it was Madrid.
Yeah, yeah.
Yo,
beating Nadal and Djokovic back to back. Unbelievable.
Back to back. That, listen, that Nadal match was absolutely crazy.
It was funny as well. The final for me, to cut you, but the final against Zverev, just like a non-event. Like, he just completely demolished him, and I find that hilarious.
Literally. finished him. But shout out to him. Like I said, I love seeing the new gen taking over. Him beating two big top players back-to-back is fucking crazy. And he was into, like, I would love to watch him play live. Like, he's generally so entertaining. Like, he has the whole package. Literally has the whole package. But he's going to keep, like, we need to keep an eye on him, French Open.
No, you know? 100%, definitely.
But you know, get an open starts for us tomorrow. I'm saying for us because this is literally Saturday. Looking forward to it.
I am. I mean, we always have to do it, but who are your picks, both men and women?
Jeez, I can't lie to you. I don't fucking know, bro.
So you don't think... For the women, I think everyone's saying Swiatek because, like, she's on this ridiculous tear.
Okay, that's a good one, and she's won before. Exactly, okay. That's a good shout. I won't argue with that.
I'm not saying. I'm saying sort of like the general kind of
I can't tell you.
I hear you. I think it's very
for
difficult.
Both men and women. Yeah. I'm lost. I'm looking at everything and I'm just like, I can tell who might go far, blah blah blah, but to actually win,
It's difficult.
I've already said men before. I already said men. French Open is going to be random this year.
Really?
I don't think Nadal or
I think you did say that actually. Yeah. You did.
But Djokovic, now that he won Italy,
Rome,
might be a little bit motivated, so you never know, because he's another one as well, very fucking competitive. Novak is extremely competitive. His
world number one, so
woman. I honestly this might be the first time where I might say I can't give you an answer. I don't know.
Fascinating.
Who do you have?
Again, I hate like predicting, but if I had to pick on both sides, this is without the Black Spin Global hat.
Mm.
Women, I'm gonna go. I like excitement in terms of like a new winner, so I'm not gonna say Swiatek.
Okay.
But
who else besides her? This is what I'm saying.
It's tough. Yeah, it's tough.
This is what I'm saying.
You know what? I'm very tempted to say Coco. You know. Because why not?
Okay.
Why not? Like,
no, I will take that.
So I'm going to say Coco, and that is with the Black Spin Global hat on. On the men's side, it's tough.
Because Medvedev hasn't really been playing.
Yeah, Medvedev's not a clay court guy as well. So I'm not expecting anything.
And the thing is, I don't understand, because the way he plays, if he does that on clay, he will murder these guys. I actually don't get how he's not playing on clay. But anyways, Novak.
Yeah, for the men, I'm going to say it's between Novak and Nadal.
You're putting Nadal up there.
I am. I know he's got the foot injury and he's not best of form, but I just think the French, there's something about being in Paris for him, like it's special. So
I mean, they have a whole fucking thing
statue
for him.
Exactly, and rightly so. So
yeah.
I think it might be a bit too early for Alcaraz, but again, I wouldn't be completely surprised.
If he wins, I won't be surprised, but I agree with you. That's why I haven't said his name, because I'm just like, I don't know. But that Madrid win, maybe it boosted him, who knows.
He
done well by I think he pulled out of Rome, so he can rest,
smartly, exactly,
which was a smart move. So he might come back with hella energy, be like, all right. Because the thing is about Alcaraz is that's the thing, when you beat big players like that, people then got to see you like different. Same thing with Osaka, when she beat and she was winning, people saw her different.
Established top 10 now, like, so
he's big. People looking at him, they're looking at him like as a threat. So people might come in French Open thinking, oh no, I'm coming in with hella smoke. So he needs to play 10 times better than what he played during Madrid. So we'll see, boy. We'll see, you know.
But yeah,
Lucy's
favorite slam.
You know what? Secretly, I will never publicly admit it. But even though I'm kind of am, but secretly, I've got hella love for French Open. I call it the ghetto open, but I've got hella love. I don't know. I feel like the vibe is just different. The crowd is the best. The weather is most always like nice. Like the energy from everyone. Like, I just feel like it's just a different, it's a slam, but everyone's hella casual. And I just fucking love it.
I hear you.
That's what I like. Whereas you have some slam, it's like, you know, proper, like professional, proper, like boom, boom, boom. But like, ghetto open is a ghetto. And sometimes ghetto. I love the ghetto.
Oh man, Lucy, thank you for this. Yeah, early.
Hold on to you, because you were very. I won't be surprised if you go back and have a quick nap.
Listen, I've got work in an hour, so no nap for me. Very long.
I thought you were starting at 4.
Nah, 2:30 today. So yeah.
Damn.
Exactly. Indeed.
Gotta get that bread.
Don't we? But no, appreciate you all listening, guys. Or appreciate you for listening. Sorry. And apologies that I look so tired. But anyway, it's all good.
Nah, you look good, man.
Major shout out to Lucy for basically sorting this whole show today. So yeah, guys, enjoy the French Open. And we will be back at the conclusion of it, obviously, to like give you our thoughts. And hopefully we've got a lot of exciting things to talk about, tennis related. No dramas, please.
Let's see. Right. There's probably drama as we're recording this right
Stop
now.
It. Stop
There's
it.
Probably
on
some drama.
On media day. Stop it. But yeah, guys, thanks for listening. And yeah, until next time, take care.